McCall, you're getting better with your age. You know, Bev Shea is still singing at 98 years of age. So you've got a long time to still to continue to sing. Well, as you know by the bulletin this morning, my text is found over there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And the topic is the man who was always thankful. The man who was always thankful. And I want you to note the words found in verse 18. Of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. If you don't have a Bible, there's one in the pew. I hope you have your own Bible, but if you don't, use that one and then get yourself a Bible. These are great days to really get to know the Word of God. As a matter of fact, Ellie and I are thinking about getting my son-in-law, who's going to be with us at Christmas, a new Bible. And there are some good ones out there, but it's good to have a Bible during these days. Paul is writing to the church at Thessalonica, and he says in the words of verse 18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." You know, it is my deep conviction that far too many Americans have fallen asleep in life when it comes to this matter of giving thanks. We just have forgotten how good God has been to each and every one of us. Now, this is one thing the Apostle Paul would never do. As you read the writings of Paul, it's not long before you recognize that he was a prayerful Christian. In every epistle that he wrote, you always find a prayer. But alongside of that, you will find that he was not only a prayerful Christian, but he was a praiseful Christian. He was first in line in offering to God his praise. He didn't wait for someone else. He was right there, right up front, saying, "I just thank my God." Now, if you don't believe me, listen to this. No less than 40 times does this man of God, Paul, use the verb and the noun denoting thanksgiving. You find it again and again throughout his epistles. I want you to listen for just a moment to the spirit of gratitude that literally flows from the heart of this first century Christian. In Romans chapter 1, verse 8, he says, "I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all." In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4, Paul says, "I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ." In Philippians chapter 1, verse 3, Paul writes to the church at Philippi and he says, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you." Wouldn't that be wonderful if each and every one of us this morning could just thank God for every single member and friend here at Second Baptist Church and what they're doing and how they're growing and how they're helping. And then Paul goes on and he says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 3, "We give thanks to God and the Father upon every remembrance of you." And then we come to 1 and 2 Thessalonians. And Paul continues to sound the note of gratitude and praise. Four times in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2, Paul says, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers." In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, Paul says, "For this cause also we thank God without ceasing." In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 9, Paul says, "How we thank God for you. Because of you we have great joy in the presence of God." And then in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, Paul declares to the church at Thessalonica, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, for it is fitting." I want to ask you, do you agree with this statement? Paul always appears in what we would call the garment of praise. He wore prayer like a man wears a suit. It was woven in the fabric of his personality, his being. He was a thankful Christian. What a description of this first century Christian. He was indeed a praiseful man of God. On this Thanksgiving Sunday, each and every one of us, we need desperately to be clothed in the garment of the grace of giving thanks. We need to exhibit it before others. We need to let people know that we are thankful. Because so many Christians today and so many people wear long on our demands and our complaints and short on our praises and our thanksgivings. Let's take a few moments this morning and look a little closer at this man, the Apostle Paul, who was always giving thanks. First of all, I want you to look with me at what I'm going to call the requirement for us to be thankful. Because many treat this matter of giving thanks rather lightly. And yet notice the commanding words of Paul in verse 18. Notice what he says there in your Bible. In everything, give thanks. Now this is God's will for each and every one of us, according to the Apostle Paul. More than that, I want you to note, it is God's command for those of us who profess to be Christians. In other words, Paul is saying, thanksgiving, praise, gratitude ought to characterize the life of every child of God. Now, if this be the case, and it is, where are the 9 and the 9,000 and the 900 and the 9 million? Whom God Almighty has blessed, only to be pushed aside with an ungrateful spirit, feeling no obligation whatsoever to offer thanks to Him. Can you remember the time that Jesus healed the 10 lepers? And if you know that story, you recognize that only one came back. And that one was a Samaritan. And the Samaritans were despised by these ungrateful Jews. And I want you to listen to his thankful soul. We read about it in St. Luke chapter 15 and 16. It says, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he came back to Jesus, shouting, praise God, I'm healed. He fell down on the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. And then I want you to know the words, the sad words of Jesus when he said, didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Does only this foreigner return to give glory to God? You know, many of us are just like those ungrateful 9 lepers. Do you know, on this Thanksgiving Sunday and during this Thanksgiving week, there are going to be millions of Americans who are going to sit down for a delicious meal without ever bowing their head to give thanks to God for all of His blessings. Think of it, the God who redeemed you and the God who created you. And you belong to Him by an act of creation. And the God that saved you and I from hell and has forgiven us all of our sins, He has to beg us and plead with us to give thanks. And many don't do it. I want you to note something there in the context of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It's very interesting that Paul puts the grace of giving among those required graces that make for an attractive life. Now, he didn't have to, but he did. Start with verse 14 and notice what it says. Now we exhort you, or some translations have it, we urge you, we plead with you, we beg you, brethren, Christians, warn them that are unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, support the weak, be patient toward all men, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Now notice, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. Now I want you to note something. Without changing the tense of the verb, he goes right into verse 18 and he says, in everything give thanks. Now the verb there is in the imperative. And the imperative is a command. And the command that God has given is this, that in all things we are to be thankful. On this Thanksgiving Sunday, some of us need to realize as never before that you and I are obligated as Christians. Obligated as Christians to be thankful. We owe it to God. We owe it to ourselves. We owe it to others to be thankful for the blessings and benefits, not only in this life, but also for the future life that He's already given us. Do you know the Bible speaks that as Christians that we are already citizens of heaven? We're just passing through. This world is not our home. We are to be seeking and searching for things that are above. And that's why we need to be thankful for what God has given us in this life and what He has already prepared for us for the next life. Don't you see it this morning? It's the Christian duty to be thankful. And that's what Paul exhibited. Here was a man, and he was a man, though he was an apostle. He was a man who was always thanking God for what God had done for him. And don't forget, Paul speaks of himself as the worst of sinners. He was the least of all of the Christians, he says. And he thanked God for what God had done for him. The requirement for being thankful. Would you and I take that to heart today and this week? You know, there are others around us that would love to hear a word of thanks from us. Thank you for the choir singing. Thank you for teaching that Sunday school class. Thank you for helping for what you have done. And just let it flow from your soul, the requirement to give thanks. Well, let's continue. Here in the context, we find not only the requirement of being thankful, but in the second place, we have the range of our thanksgiving and our gratitude. Look at the scope that Paul gives us regarding our thanksgiving there in verse 18. In everything give thanks. You know, when you first read that, it seems almost incredible that any man in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. I like the way some of the other translations have rendered these words. Philip has it, be thankful whatever the circumstances may be. Isn't that something? Whatever the circumstances, just be thankful. Weymouth puts it, in every circumstance of life, be thankful. Some of you have the New Living Translation. It puts it this way, no matter what happens, always be thankful. Or the New International Version, give thanks in all circumstances. Really doesn't matter what translation this morning of the Bible you have, if it's an evangelical translation, it's getting across the major thrust that in all things, Paul says, it's a requirement. You and I should be thankful. Now, Paul is not teaching here that we as believers should thank God for everything. That's where there is a misconception. Not for everything, in everything. We need to realize that sickness and evil and pain and suffering and death, they all came into the world because of sin. You know, it's so easy today when someone is going through something, they just love to blame it back on God. Well, God must be the author of that. Well, God caused that. And they, in their philosophy of life, they never bring in the mystery of sin and the abounding of sin. Sin has caused every disease, every sickness. There was no death when God created Adam and Eve. They were bound to live forever until they sinned. So every time you hear of sickness and sorrow and sin and disease and pain, don't put them back on God. He's not the author of it. It's because of sin within the life. None of these things come from God. But what is Paul trying to get across here? He's trying to get across this truth. Though they did not come from God, he can still use them in the advancement of our spiritual trust and in the development of our spiritual lives and growth. Notice what Paul states. In everything. When these difficult things come into your lives and my life, we can still be thankful. For God can bring good and glory out of everything that can come into your life, even though it's Satan is the author of it. Listen to these words in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And God works all things together for good to them that love him. And that's what God can do. And that's what Paul is trying to get across to each and every one of us. That we are in these things. And the very fact that we are in these things, we need in all things to give God the glory. The compelling idea here is that the heart is to overflow in gratitude to God in everything that happens to us. We must permit him and realize that he can work out the difficulty to his glory and for our good. Isn't that wonderful? For our long-range good. So the range of our thanksgiving, according to this first century Christian, who was ever thankful, should be in everything give thanks. And I want you to know that Paul knew nothing of an ungrateful spirit or a bitter spirit, even in the midst of all of the problems that he faced. And I want to tell you, no one was persecuted like the Apostle Paul. Even the writer of the book of Acts, Luke, prophetically was saying that he, Paul, must suffer many things, which he did. No one suffered more other than Christ than the Apostle Paul. And yet, how did he do it? How was he able to cope and to go through and to meet? The answer is found in the text. For this is the will of God. Now notice the words, in Christ Jesus. And there you have the secret that Paul experienced. In Christ Jesus. Do you know the favorite description of the Christian in the New Testament is this? In Christ. In Christ. In the Beloved. In him. And if you are here this morning and you profess to be a Christian, you are in Christ. And the very fact that you and I are in Christ is the secret. That God enables us. Listen to me now. God's will is only made possible in Christ. And it is in Christ that believers are given the strength and the ability to carry out God's command of giving thanks in all things. You'll never do it in your own strength, and neither will I. And you and I are going to fail every time if we try to do it in our own strength. Can you get this down this morning on this Sunday? That it is only in Christ. The one who formed and fashioned his own life with a spirit of thanksgiving, that we will be able to thank God for all of the problems that you and I are called upon to go through and all of the distresses that come upon us. That's how Jesus did it. He was in God, and we are in Christ. So we are in God. with the ability. Have you studied lately the life of Jesus? The life of Christ? Well, if you have, you will find that he always had a thankful soul. There was never a moment in the life of Jesus that he wasn't thankful. When people rejected him, and they do us, and oftentimes we retaliate, and yet when they rejected him and determined to put him to death, he still offered praise to God. When he was about to feed a hungry multitude of 5,000 people, it states in John chapter 6, verse 11, "And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples." Think of the time when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, there in John chapter 11. And there in verse 41, we read the words, "And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me." Or remember the institution of the Lord's Supper. We read these words in Matthew chapter 26, verse 27. "And he took the cup, knowing what it symbolized," the cup, speaking of his death, the coming death on the cross. "And he took the cup," and it says, "and gave thanks." And what about the cross? The ugly, hideous, horrible, devastating cross that he was going to experience. And yet it was a symbol of gratitude that flowed from his lips. Jesus declared, "Father, I thank thee." You see where I'm going? What a gracious spirit of gratitude our Lord possessed and exhibited. I've used this before, but I want to use it again. I'm reminded of a certain Christian lady who was an invalid and confined to her bed for many years. Not like some of us who are robust, physically fit, come and go as we please, not gone through any devastating diseases yet. My, how we can complain. But here was this lady, an invalid, confined to her bed, and she says, "Oh, I'm so happy and thankful, because if the weather stays clear in 2 weeks, I may be able to go outside for half an hour." Some of you have heard Ellie and I talk about this lady by the name of Priscilla Boardman. And we see her often. As a matter of fact, we saw her last week with two other friends. She once was 5'7". Now she's about 4'9". Because of arthritis. She's blind. Can't see. She's losing her hearing. She said cancer. And there she is in that nursing home. And she happens to be in the nursing home with a roommate. And the roommate is one of those ladies that has always had to have her own way. And when she turns on one of my sermons to hear, her roommate will just turn up the television a little loud and do everything. And it causes consternation, and you can understand. And when we were together last Tuesday in that side room, she said, "Reg, would you hold hands and just pray that God would give me the right attitude? The right attitude." We have so much to be thankful for. Like Christ himself, like the Apostle Paul, like this Christian that I've just mentioned, that radiant Christian lady who learned the art of gratitude, we must allow our souls to be grateful in all things. That's the range of our thanksgiving. We've seen the requirement in everything. Give thanks. That's a command. The range in all things. In all things. Now let me bring this message down to a conclusion with one other thought. The the reasons for our gratitude. Now, notice the title of the message, The Man Who Was Always Giving Thanks. That was Paul. Now, notice the words there in verse 18. In everything what? Give thanks. And that raises the question, but why? But why? Well, from Paul's own life, let me mention three things why Paul had such a spirit of thanksgiving. I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. And I want you to note here that, first of all, Paul was thankful for God's unspeakable gift. Now notice what he says. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Let me give you a love feast before you go out to your meal, your dinner meal. I want to give you a love feast the way that some of the other translations have rendered this. The NIV has it, thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. The New English Bible renders it, thanks be to God for His gift beyond words. The New Living Translation puts it, thank God for His Son, a gift too wonderful for words. One other translation renders it, thank God for His gift too marvelous for the human mind to grasp. See what Paul was driving at? Paul could never stop praising God for the greatest of all gifts, the gift of Jesus Christ. I have a sermon. It's on the internet. Right now, entitled Christmas at Thanksgiving. That's what it is. We're celebrating Christmas. We're thanking God in this verse for His unspeakable gift. That's Christmas. Thanksgiving is Thanksgiving. Why did Paul thank God for this unspeakable gift? Because this gift was Jesus Christ, who forgave him of his sins and remade his life into something beautiful and wonderful and useful. Have you ever asked yourself the question? Have you ever asked yourself the question, why did Paul use such language? Unspeakable, indescribable, beyond words. And he's speaking of Jesus. Let me give you four quick reasons why it's so inexpressible, indescribable, unspeakable, and too wonderful for words. First of all, I'll just underline them. Because of the immeasurable love that designed it. Have you ever thought of God's plan? Way back in the eternal counsels of God, way back in eternity past. When God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, they came together and they delineated and outlined God's plan. And then we read in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, but when the fullness of time was come, God taking the initiative, God timing the invasion, God doing everything. The immeasurable love that designed it. He designed a plan by which you and I in time could be saved and forgiven and transformed and given hope for heaven. That's why it's so inexpressible. And then secondly, because of the immaculate life that disclosed it. Look at the life of Jesus. He never sinned. 33 years on this planet, never deviated from His Father's will. Never had an evil thought. Pilate said, I find no fault in Him. Judas said, I betrayed innocent blood. The writer of Hebrews says He was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. He lived an impeccable life. That's the beauty of the gift. This unspeakable gift. And then thirdly, we have here because of the invaluable loss that described it. Can anybody read the words found in Romans chapter 8? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. There you have God giving His best and Christ giving His life. You can't count the loss unless you've lost a child to know what God went through. And then because of the imperishable longing that demands it, down through the centuries, longing hearts and aching souls of men throughout the world have only been satisfied when they have received this unspeakable gift that Paul is talking about. And one day on the road to Damascus, this Saul of Tarsus was struck down and he experienced for himself this unspeakable gift. And he says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. But then secondly, Paul was thankful not only because of God's unspeakable gift, but because of God's unlimited provision. Listen to these words. You don't have to turn to it because of time. It's found in Romans chapter 14. He that eats, eats to the Lord, and he gives God thanks. You know what Paul was saying there to the church at Rome? He knew that God gives life its support, its hope, its strength, and its nourishment. And that's what we need to realize this morning, that everything that we have, the air that we breathe, the fish of the sea, the stars in the heaven, everything God has given to us, these are all of the provisions of grace. And then think, we've got the person of grace all together. Most of us, I suspect, have very little insight about the abnormal hunger that exists in the world today. Many of us never realize that 2/3 of the world's population go to bed hungry every night. Every night. And we who live in America, with its abundance of resources, and we have it, and its brilliant achievements in science and technology, and its overflowing economy, all of which when united together has brought us to heights of material prosperity never known to man, like we have it today. How much we have to be thankful for. Dare any of us this coming week sit down at our Thanksgiving tables? Or even if we have unsaved people fellowshipping with us, let's not be embarrassed right up front to ask God for his blessing on what we participate in. And then in closing this morning, there's one thing more that the Apostle Paul is thanking God for, not only because of his unspeakable gift, and not only because of his unlimited provision, but he's thanking God, and you need to get this, and so do I, for his unforgettable victory. Would you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 5? Or maybe it's chapter 15, I'm not sure. I think it's chapter 5, verse 57. But whatever. I think it's chapter 5, verse 57. Where Paul says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now here Paul is grateful to God for the eternal triumph of Christ. Now that the word victory there is victory over the problem of sin. Now the problem of sin. Do you have a problem with sin? We all do. And Paul is thanking God, praising God, for giving him the victory over the problem of sin. Now get this. And also over the power of death. He's thanking God for a victory worth shouting about. Now, I don't know about you, but every so often I love to hear Christians just shout and say, praise God. Praise God. For the victory over sin and the problem of death. Let me tell you something here this morning. You've heard me on many a funeral. I've had many, many funerals here at Second Baptist Church. You and I are not the victims of death. We're the victors. And your life as a Christian is not going to end in tragedy. It's going to end in triumph. And your destiny is not a hole in the ground. It's a home in heaven.
All because of the victory that Christ has won for us. A triumph in Christ that lifts us out of life's sorrows and despairs into the secure arms of God. It is here, cries Paul, when life rides you hard, that you may stand up and give a hearty thank you, Lord, for all that you have done and for all that you have given to me in Christ. Isn't that a wonderful thought? Now, I want to close this with an illustration so that all of us can put this into practice. Joni Yoder, a former writer, or she's a present writer, though she's in heaven, writes in Our Daily Bread. She tells in one of her devotions about a friend in England, a lady who was in her mid-80s. And this lady was housebound and frail. But every time Joni spoke to her, she had an attitude of thanksgiving and gratitude and graciousness. And they talked on the telephone. And her favorite hymn was this, the one that we sang today, Count Your Blessings, that we sang. Wonderful hymn. And Yoda writes, she said, so I was concerned when she remarked, one day I've stopped naming my blessings one by one. And Joni was a little concerned. But before she realized it, the lady had continued in the conversation, and she cheerfully said, my blessings are so many, I'm weighing them ton by ton. Now, that response caught Yoder in her own life. And it changed her view of thanksgiving and her way of looking at her trials. Listen to what she said, and I quote. Years ago when I was struggling with sleepless nights. Do you have those sleepless nights, anybody here? You're old enough to have sleepless nights? Can't sleep? I told you to put on one of my sermons. She said, I started a new habit. Throughout each day, I try to notice every blessing, large or small, that came my way. Every day. Now, that's some of us. That's what some of us, we probably ought to start doing, if we haven't. Every day, start noticing the blessings that God gives to you, small and great. That's what she did. She said, each night in bed, I name them one by one and thank God for them. Not only did this practice change my attitude from negative to positive, but I fell into a peaceful sleep before finishing my list. God used a time of struggle in my life to help me to develop an attitude of thanksgiving. And then Yoda concludes, is the Lord using a tough trial to plead with you to praise Him more? If so, start counting your blessings and discover how good it is to give thanks. And there you have it. The man who was constantly, continuously giving thanks. And the reasons why he was eternally grateful to God for his unspeakable gift, for his unlimited provision, and finally for his unforgettable victory. Wouldn't it be wonderful as we close this Thanksgiving Sunday this morning if you and I would begin to cultivate more this type of an attitude? And you know what's going to happen if you do? Then we will know intimately what an unknown author meant by the statement, God has two dwelling places. One is in heaven, and the other is in a thankful heart. And so he does. To be thankful to him. May we have a thankful heart in which he may dwell.
Shall we pray?